Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
Night Ranger is your artist of the day. A little Four in the Morning there from the Seven Wishes album, 1985. Night Ranger. Good afternoon. Welcome to the Dana and Parks program. Good to have you with us.
Hello.
It's Fronty Day in Kansas City.
I know.
And the numbers start falling.
I really, really want to go.
Sam sounds like he's out.
It's still in the air.
You know, Scott, I have an event tomorrow night, and sometimes for work, you have to do things outside of work, and I just have work I need to do.
I understand.
And let me tell you what's going to happen if I go to Fronty. I am going to have a good time.
Oh, you're going to dance like you never danced
before? I'm going to dance. I'm going to sing. I'm going to have a glass of wine or two, and then I'm going to come home and be like, oh my gosh, I've got so much stuff I've got to do. So you tell him I said hello.
I will tell him you said hello. Starrett, are you still in?
So far as I know, yeah.
Okay.
I mean, what?
Is everybody bagging out?
No.
So far as I know?
Well, yeah, I'm in. Julie's in.
Okay. I can't, by the way, can I tell you this real quick?
What?
Dana, I'm sorry you're going to miss this. Yeah. I can't wait to meet Julie tonight.
I'm glad. I look forward to her meeting you.
Will and I and Kelly and Julie are going to Uber together to the show.
Good.
I invited Will over because we have an Uber coming to the house.
Mm-hmm.
We're all going to Uber together, get to know Julie. I'll report back tomorrow.
All Good. The weird dad Good. Questions that you're going to ask.
Right.
Don't lie.
It'll be fun. I'm glad for you guys, and I'm sad to miss it. What time does the show start?
We think around 8-ish.
Yes,
so 8. Uber's coming at 7:30.
Okay.
It's going to be cold.
Yeah, it is.
I was going to say, take a coat and maybe some hand warmers. That'll be good.
We won't need any hand warmers. The show's going to be hot.
All right.
Okay.
That's fine.
From the Stop the Planet I'm Getting Off file, a leading sanitary product brand has announced its decision to remove a feminine logo from its packaging. I'm not done with the sentence.
We're really going to this right out of the gate?
Okay. A leading sanitary product brand, read that, tampons, pads.
Period products.
Menstruation products is what we prefer.
Mm-hmm.
Has announced its decision to remove a feminine logo from its packaging in order to be more inclusive.
What?
Always, which is owned by Procter & Gamble, will remove the feminine Venus symbol, a sign derived from astrological symbols often used to represent females, from its packaging. The symbol is currently used on the packaging of individual sanitary towels in certain multi-packs sold by the brand. Read that, pads.
Wait, sanitary towels?
Is that what they call them now?
I'm
pads?
Still trying to figure out why.
I remember them being called sanitary napkins and pads. I've never heard towels, but is like the size growing?
And you know that I am a very gender inclusive person.
Mm-hmm.
I do not understand why with this particular product, it would be a big deal to market to women because it is exclusively women who use those products.
Well, that is correct.
If you consider yourself to be a man born into a woman's body,
you would not necessarily mean you would need those products.
A transgender man, meaning someone who was born anatomically female, but identifies as a man, is still going to need these.
Okay. There's one.
You're right. There is one.
Okay.
Yahoo contacted Always for comment, and a representative tells them, and I quote, "For over 35 years, Always has championed girls and women, and we will continue to do so. We're also committed to diversity and inclusion, and after hearing from many people across genders and age groups, we realize that not everyone who has a period and needs to use a pad identifies as female."
Okay, well, now this makes more sense to me.
Following up on Will's point, I guess.
Yes.
I still think this is the dumbest thing I've ever seen in my life. "To ensure that anyone who needs to use a period product feels comfortable in doing so with Always, we updated our pad wrapper design."
Huh. Okay.
"Our mission remains to ensure that no girl loses confidence at puberty because of her gender or period, and we do this through our puberty education programs. #EndPeriodPoverty. #LikeAGirl.
I love the Like a Girl hashtag. That's that very, very powerful ad where they ask the girls to run like a girl, and the girls are determined and fierce, and they ask older adults to run like a girl, and they make fun of it. It is a very powerful ad campaign. This doesn't bother me. I know it makes the vein pop out of your head.
It just does. It's a solution looking for a problem for me. I mean, and you and I can disagree on that, and that's fine. But I just think this is the epitome of political correctness gone amok. It's stupid.
Gone too far.
Yeah. Gone too far. It's just dumb. And that's fine. I mean, I don't know. It just always seems like every day I wake up and it's like, there's just one more thing that I must be doing wrong, thinking that girls have periods.
You misogynist, you.
I guess what they're basically saying is it's not just people who identify as women who have a monopoly on menstruation.
I guess.
But, I mean, back to my original point, you know, you talk about safe spaces and political correctness. This is the epitome of it.
Now, I am going to disagree with you over the safe spaces. We got an email the other day because, as you know, our daughter is about to journey on off to college.
By the way, congratulations.
Yeah,
I saw the acceptance letter. That was fantastic.
Very excited.
I'm so proud of her.
So she is going through housing and trying to figure out, where am I going to live? What is my life going to look like next year? And it does say right there in the housing contract email that the parents receive as well, if you are looking for gender-inclusive housing or have special housing needs, please contact this person at the university. There is a place for you. And I love that they're saying that.
What does that mean in English?
Let me see if I can find the email, because I actually read it this morning. I love that they're saying that, and here's why. There are going to be kids coming to school, Scott, from all over America, from small towns to big cities, okay? And so in a big city like Kansas City, you might think, why is this a big deal? People have kind of grown up talking about this kind of thing. But if you're coming from a small town and you are kind of struggling with identity issues, I am thrilled that they're putting that in there. So, I really am.
So this is some sort of way to accommodate people with gender identity issues into the housing
because
system?
Because this is kind of their first foray out of their communities and into a place where they can be themselves. Here it is. "For students with diverse sexualities and gender identities with interest in gender-inclusive housing or housing accommodation for gender identity, please contact blank." also get your meningitis vaccine. That's it. And so it's about four sentences, and that's one of them, which says to me there is a need for that. Now, is there a need for gender-inclusive sanitary products? I understand what you're saying about that. But is there a need for safe living and places? And I think we just had our fourth woman murdered in our area.
So is KU, and we got to get to break, is KU talking about putting all the transgendered kids, you know, because now they work in quads where there's two kids in each room, but they share a living room and a bathroom in the dormitories. Are they talking about putting all the transgendered kids in one room?
My guess is there is a space and accommodation for that. And, you know, when you're talking about someone coming into a brand new space, you know, with potluck roommate situations the way they are.
Yeah,
I'll tell you this. I have a very close friend who was paired, and I did not know this until recently, with a racist when she went off to college our year, Scott. And so, you know, I think the universities are doing what they can to...
So are they going to pair all the racists together?
I don't know where you put the racists. I don't think they belong in Lawrence.
That doesn't sound like a good idea.
Check the box if you hate black people, and we'll put you in a room with somebody else who hates black people.
I don't know what you do with the racists, but they are they are trying to do a better job when they are pairing roommates.
576-7798.
Walk like an Egyptian.
Story here from the USA Today, I believe it is. California has long been at the forefront of strong, progressive public policy. Former President Barack Obama once hailed it as a model for the rest of the country. This is an opinion piece, by the way. These are not my words. Calling on Congress to, quote, catch up to California after the state passed the nation's most aggressive expansion of paid family leave. The Golden State has taken another bold step toward protecting its residents. Again, this is an opinion piece. Last week, California temporarily banned the use of facial recognition technology in body cameras used by law enforcement, one of the first states to do so. And once again, it's time for the rest of the country to follow suit and implement safeguards to regulate this technology before it can be used to compromise public safety and violate our civil rights. Again, this is an opinion piece.
Yeah, but just wait.
Facial recognition uses artificial intelligence to track objects and faces, anticipates what's important to the user, and then scans images against databases with millions of faces. It is touted as one of the most exciting advancements in tech. But limited information about how it's being used by law enforcement and a disturbing lack of transparency and accountability from the very companies that develop and sell it mean we may need to consider its dangers, including its proven racial and gender bias. In some circumstances, it's easy to see how the technology could potentially cost a life.
Now, real quick, I looked around today to try and see if any local police departments are using this technology. I did not find a result with respect to local police, and make no mistake, that does not mean they're not using it. This is so new and so unregulated. There are local police departments that could very well be using it. We just don't know about it yet. I will tell you who is using facial recognition technology. Number one, Scott, for years, the departments of revenue, when they scan their database overnight for faces that look alike, they have been doing that for years to try to catch people who are claiming to be someone they're not. But that's not all. There are other places using this technology in our community as we speak.
Story here from August of this year. Raytown's two high schools apparently use facial recognition. Story here from Fox 4. One local school district unveiled a brand new layer of security this year to monitor who goes in and who goes out of the buildings. It is facial recognition technology, and it's raising the bar for school security. There are currently 100 security cameras at Raytown High School and nearly 1,000 cameras around the entire Raytown district. Assistant Superintendent Travis Hux said they'll now be using these existing cameras to implement facial recognition technology.
Yep.
What's the problem with that?
So I think if you asked many parents, do you like the fact that the districts are starting to dip their toes in facial recognition, they will say yes.
Overwhelmingly,
I think. Let me give you one example, and this was in a small town west of here. I don't want to get the name of the city wrong, so I'm looking it up here. It was in a Vibes.com article where a kid who was expelled showed up at a football game. And he was expelled for something bad.
Obviously.
And within 3 minutes, the security guard and officer knew someone who was not supposed to be at that football game was, in fact, in the stands. This was west of here, just west of, I think it was Platt, but I need to look. So in that case, they were able to escort
Platt
him
City?
Out.
You mean north of here?
I'm going to look. In that case, they were able to escort this kid out of the stadium. And so in a school environment where you do not have a right to go to a football game on a Friday night, do you like the use of facial technology? I think most people would say yes. Do you want the police department employing that kind of technology when we know for a fact, based on studies, it is deeply flawed?
That's true. There are some gender mix-ups that it makes. And certainly if you are a light-skinned black person.
Yeah. It can't tell you apart from a woman.
Correct. 31% of the time it made a mistake.
It's not good. And so if you get pulled over by a police officer and his body cam thinks you are a homicide suspect when in fact you're just a mom trying to get home.
Do you know what famous singer uses facial recognition at her shows?
Taylor Swift.
That's right. 576-7798. 576-7798. Weigh in if you'd like.
When I see your face, there's not a thing that I would change. 'Cause you're amazing, just the way you are. And when you smile, the whole world stops.
So we got this story. A little old, but it goes back into the facial recognition cameras that we're talking about. This spring, three Panasonic engineers journeyed from Houston and Japan to West Platte, Missouri. Will, can you tell us where that is or look that up?
I just looked it up, and I assume it's up in Platte.
30 miles from Kansas City. I'm assuming it's in Platte County somewhere.
It's an unincorporated community in Platte County. This cannot be a large area.
There, they helped install a $200,000 camera system that the district ordered to watch over its only 600 students, including licenses to equip 13 cameras with FacePro facial recognition. The cameras primarily guard school entrances and feed footage to the school's IT office and local law enforcement, which both receive alerts when the system identifies someone on the district's watch list. The footage is stored by default for 1 month. Panasonic did not respond to requests for comment.
So my point is, schools are using this. They basically paid $340 per student to put that system in, by the way. Think about
how
that.
How much?
$340.
Mm-hmm.
Think about that.
Well, some people would argue, what's the price of life?
For a small school where with 600 kids in one school, it is possible for you to know everyone in that school.
Sure.
There are schools in Kansas City that have 600, 500 per class. If you're going to employ facial recognition, to me, you put it as well in these larger districts where there are so many kids coming and going from day to day, you're not sure who's who. I think most people listening would be okay using this within the boundaries of a school building. When you start talking about giving police officers this technology, I get uncomfortable.
Now, I find this to be interesting, and let me probe this just a little bit more. The police, when they encounter someone where they would be using facial recognition, more often than not, and by more often than not, I mean more often than not, are encountering this person on public property. Okay?
Okay, so like they pull you
over. A street.
Yeah, they pull you over on State Line Road. And they have this technology, and within however many minutes, it kicks back who it thinks you are.
Right. It's not. It's obviously not perfect.
Here's why I don't like this. I did this story with the Kansas Department of Revenue several years ago because I thought it was fascinating. They actually busted up a sex trafficking ring using the database facial recognition software that they use automatically every single night. It scrolls through millions of driver's licenses, and it kicks out what it believes to be a match. So if there's someone named Scott Parks with your face, but then someone else rips you off, Scott, identity theft, mm-hmm. and it's your face, but they're going by the name Bob Jones, that's how, in part, they can catch identity thieves.
Well, let me ask you about something else that goes on.
But let me just go back
to
this.
All right.
Every morning, it spits out the likely imposters to your driver's license. And I had them do it with my face. And it spit out six. Six women that the computer thought might be me. And it was interesting to see. What does this computer think my face looks like compared to 2 million others?
And what did it think?
Five out of the six look nothing like me. One out of the six, if you were squinting from across the street, maybe. But one of the things they showed me were matches that weren't matches that you would swear is your twin. So the computer kicks it out, and you have someone in the state of Kansas who just looks a lot like you.
Your doppelganger.
Everyone listening right now, and you don't even know it, has a doppelganger in that driver's license system. And I looked at some of them side by side, and you'd be shocked how close they are. And that would be a mistake if someone pulled you over and said, well, hello, this looks just like you. This says your name isn't Dana. It says your name's Shirley.
Yes.
Shirley, you can't be serious.
Hey, I am, and don't call me Shirley.
Thank you.
What if they could perfect the system more? I understand your complaint and the ACLU's argument that the system as it is currently developed is flawed.
Deeply flawed.
It's flawed. What if they could perfect it, which you know at some point they're going to do, with the technology as quickly as it's growing, at some point they're going to know, that's Dana Wright. That's Will Starrett.
Is that what the technology sounds like?
That's exactly what it sounds like. Wow. Thank you for asking. I know because I'm in it.
Mm-hmm. What's it sound like?
So they get to the point where they can, within a fraction, positively identify you as Dana Wright. Are you okay with it?
It's kind of like the death penalty. We either get this right or we don't.
100% of the time.
The headline in the New York Times says it all because they looked into this several months ago. The headline reads, "Facial recognition is accurate if you're a white guy." If you're a white guy...
Well, then I'm all for it.
It really is accurate.
Then I'm all for facial recognition.
But you start throwing in gender and any race. Gender was misidentified, by the way, in 35% of darker-skinned females. And that's just in a set of 271 photos, by the way. You start talking about running this through a database of millions of photos, that percentage is going to jump. Gender was misidentified up to 12% in darker skinned males in a set of 318 photos. And gender was misidentified in up to 7% of lighter skinned females. And here they're showing a blonde woman, like a 65-year-old silver haired lady, and maybe a 55-year-old darker haired woman that this system all thought was the same person. They don't look anything alike at all.
Let's go to Annie and Lenexa. Annie, good afternoon. Hello.
Good afternoon. You know what? This has really annoyed me since the very first shooting took place years ago. And if you just put metal detectors in, Because you know what schools don't get shot up? The ones that are in high crime areas. And those schools have almost, some of them have up to nearly 3,000 students. But you're not getting in that school if you don't go through the gate and you don't throw your backpack up on the pulley. You're not getting in. And you know what? The kids don't, they don't mind. Nobody complains. Because you know what? None of their kids get killed.
But Annie, you do not have the same right to privacy inside the walls of a school that you enjoy as an American out on a public street. You just don't. And so I think the rub is not necessarily, do we want to use different types of technology to keep weapons out of schools? I think most people would argue we do. The problem is, do we want that technology extending out into the street where you may not be doing a thing wrong and you're walking down the sidewalk and you are misidentified as someone who has done something wrong?
But well, I just want them to use whatever works.
Well, do you want metal detectors in every public school in America?
I don't. I mean, they can spend money on all their other BS.
You mean like educating students?
No. Very funny, Scott. Very funny.
Like new football stadiums, Annie?
Like putting swimming pools, I do know of a school, a friend of mine, putting swimming schools in a high school that doesn't even have one quarter of the population of some of these schools. Okay?
Okay.
They take $3 million, or no, it was more than that. It was millions of dollars to refurbish a school that really didn't need it.
Okay.
Here in Kansas. Hey, I say keep our kids safe.
All right, Annie. Do appreciate the call. 576-7798. 576-7798. We'll stare at Sam Stevie, Dana Wright. I'm Scott Parks on KMBZ.
On the first part of the journey.
Listen, let me be very clear. If to Annie I came across as a jerk, I wasn't trying to. But people seem to think, and this was the point I was trying to make, and if I made it poorly, then I apologize. People seem to think, and there's this endless fight over educational spending, especially in Kansas, but also in Missouri as well, of course, that somehow we've just got money pouring out of our ears. I mean, we've had in the state of Kansas, for example, the state Supreme Court has had to tell the legislature how to appropriate funds because there's not enough money for whatever reason. Now, maybe taxes are too low. What? I didn't say that. Maybe money is just not being spent properly at the state level. But I guarantee you, if West Platte, for a school of 600 children or a district of 600 children or whatever, I don't know how many, I don't know if all these kids go to the same school. I don't know if it's K through 12 or whatever. If they're dropping $200,000 to provide facial recognition cameras in their school, what do you think Shawnee Mission's going to have to pay? What do you think Blue Valley or Liberty or Lee Summit is going to have to pay? Kansas City, Missouri, DeSoto.
I would flip it around.
Let me make just one more quick point, and then please jump in. I would also point out, go ahead and put metal detectors in all of these Johnson County and outer borough schools, okay, where the parents drop their kid off for a 7:50 start at 7:40, and then all of a sudden the line forms at 7:20 to get through the metal detector. Good luck with that.
With respect to the artificial intelligence, yes, it's going to be costly, but I would flip it around and ask it this way. If this works so well for the cost, why isn't every single district doing it? It's Raytown and West Platte. Why is that? And maybe it's because the larger districts are just taking a seat and they're keeping an eye on it. Let's see how this works over there. Does it solve anything? You know, most of the time, Scott, when something really, really bad happens, you don't have the time to hear the alarm going off from the software saying someone's here who shouldn't be, in time to alert a security officer, in time to get the officer where this person is located. I'm not opposed to the idea in schools, but is it going to stop the worst thing from happening? I don't think just doing that is the answer.
And I'll go back to my earlier point. I'm all for, I mean, I have a child in high school. I'm all for making schools as safe as we can possibly make them. I'm all for making society as safe as we can possibly make it. But at some point, dare I agree with the ACLU, you have to have areas where you can go without being frisked and metal detectored. And I think I just made up a new word.
You did.
I mean, I also have a daughter at the University of Kansas. Are we going to metal detect everyone that goes into Fraser Hall or Wesco Hall or Lippincott?
Yeah, but go away from the issue of cost and ask yourself, do you want this in the hands of law enforcement officers? And if so, under what circumstance? Here's where I love facial recognition software, okay?
All right.
When there's an Amber Alert. That's when I like it. That's when I like the license plate reader. When you need to find a needle in a haystack.
There's another topic we can talk about. The license plate reader.
But when you need to find a needle in a haystack very quickly because someone is in danger, that's when I like the use of this software. Just randomly using it with every interaction you have with an American citizen is a horrible idea.
Here's where I think the license plate reader, for those of you who don't know, they actually do exist. They can scan.
They swirl around and around and around and around.
They have this amazing software. Police officers listening to the show this afternoon, please correct me if and when I go wrong. But you have in some of your vehicles, not a lot, but a handful, you have this incredible software that can scan a certain number of vehicles in front of your patrol car and tell you if that vehicle is owned by someone who is wanted for a crime. That's interesting. However,
it'll also tell you whose plates are expired and who, I mean, some of it's just
now,
stupid.
In the case of an Amber Alert, where somebody was seen pulling a kid into a car with license plate YYY111, okay? I'm okay with that. But if I am a 17-year-old high school student who borrows my dad's car to go out on a date with my girlfriend, and unbeknownst to me, my dad is wanted. You just pulled me over for no reason.
Right. Correct.
You pulled me over because you're looking for my dad.
Mm-hmm.
I've committed no crime, and you just pulled me over. I'm taking my girlfriend to the movie to see the new Rambo show.
I just feel like they're appropriate under a narrow set of circumstances.
Very narrow.
And I feel like once cities start purchasing the software, you cannot put that genie back in the bottle. Who's going to come up with the rules, Scott, to say, under this circumstance, you can use this, and under that circumstance, you cannot? You know, once they get their hands on this technology, it's not going to sit in a drawer. They're going to use it.
So, Annie and Lenexa, if you felt that I was rude to you, I apologize. That was not my point. My point was that people seem to think that money grows on trees when it comes to education in the states of Missouri and Kansas. But if I was rude, I apologize. That was not my intent. I promise you that.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at kmbz.com.
Oh, oh. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly Auto Parts.